Ich wandre durch Theresien Stadt, das Herz so schwer wie Blei, bis mein Weg ein Ende hat, bis mein Weg ein Ende hat, dort knapp an der Bastei, dort knapp an der Bastei.
Theresien was a hybrid concentration camp and ghetto established by the SS during World War II. What more do we need to know about Theresien's location and its role in the Holocaust?
Well, several things. Let's start something about the location. It's located approximately 40 miles southwest of Prague, and it was a town that was established in the 1780s to house about 7,000 people. When it became a ghetto concentration camp at any one time, there were about 50 to 60,000 people in prison at that time. And the most important thing I could say is that the roundup of Jews in the what is now the Czech Republic, what was Czechoslovakia, and neighboring areas in Poland and in the Sudetenland, the southern part of Germany, and even as far away as Denmark, they sent 300 Danes down to Theresien. And so when they created the roundup, they captured a rather strong number of people who were artists and scholars and professional people of all sorts, people in medicine and law and in education and so forth. So what it turned out is that when they threw them all into this place, it was really a hotbed of intellectual and artistic giants of that part of Central Europe. And so the camp lasted from approximately 1941, late in 41, till liberation by the Russians in 1945. And during that time, when the cultural community within Theresien literally exploded, and when the third commandant allowed the prisoners to spend their time in creative ways, it's hard to say exactly how many, but about more than 1,000 concerts during that time, choral concerts, operas. And when I say opera, I'm talking about Carmen and Tosca and Magic Flute and Fledermaus and The Bartered Bride of Smetana, over 50 performances of The Bartered Bride. And the crowning achievement of all was the fact that there was 16 performances of Verdi's Requiem that took place in the camp. And more to the point for our purposes in this interview was the fact that there was a new music studio. Now, you know, a new music studio in Atlanta or in Los Angeles or New York or Chicago, I mean, that's to be expected. In fact, many cities have more than one. But in a concentration camp, a new music studio of some 20 composers with a rather important output of music, this to me was faith in the future. The fact that they composed and it was performed, it was extraordinary.
How did you come upon these stories? Even the fact that this culture existed in a concentration camp.
It was several years ago now, maybe back in 2000, 2001, I can't remember exactly, but it's when I stumbled across the story of the fact that the Verdi Requiem was performed in Theresien. I stumbled across it. I was living and working at the University of Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and I was about ready to leave the Twin Cities for a new position with the Oregon Symphony. And so I was walking along a beautiful spring day, and I was taking a walk in the uptown area, and I came across a bookstore called Bryn Mawr Books, and there was a table of on-sale materials there, and of course, can't pass it by. Absolutely sure that for $7, I'm going to find a first edition of something or other. So I went looking, and ultimately, in the pile, I found this book entitled Music at Terezin by Yosef Koresh. And so I opened the book, and it looked to be a primer. Who was at Terezin? What were their musical lives like prior to being arrested, prior to being in Terezin? What contributions did they make at Terezin? And the few that survived, what do we know about them after the war? So I looked and I saw, just by opening the book at random, into a short chapter entitled Raphael Schechter. It looked as though he was going to have a rather important future in opera conducting. War breaks out. And he is sent to Terezin, and at some point in the last paragraph, it said, and he put together a volunteer choir of 150 singers and taught them Verdi's Requiem by rote, and they performed 16 performances. They gave 16 performances of the Verdi Requiem between October 43 and June 44. And I said, nonsense, just nonsense. And I became very worried because I was enormously concerned about erroneous information pertaining to the Holocaust. The revisionists and the deniers are out there. And if we put out for public dissemination information that can't be substantiated or that really ultimately is false, then that's their license to say, okay, what else isn't true? At Emory University, you have one of the great scholars of all times on that very subject, Eber Lipstadt, whose work and book and the movie Denial is that very subject about erroneous information. We can't afford to put out erroneous information. So I set out originally to prove that the Verdi actually did not happen. But it wasn't long before I was actually led to people who sang in the choir who proved otherwise. That led me to study more about Terezin and the music that was performed there and the arts community, the cultural community, which turns out was one of the strongest cultural communities in Nazi Europe, of the smaller towns, not of the major cities. So I learned that it was true, and that led me to other issues pertaining to the music at Terezin. And that's when I came across the new music studio.
Hours of Freedom is not the story of just a single composer, but 15. They were all young men, and quite a few were destined to become big names in the music world.
Yes, that's true. I think that one of them, Hans Krause, had already, by the time he was arrested and sent to Terezin, he had already been performed by the Boston Symphony and the Philadelphia Orchestra, a short symphony. So his future was assured if he could just put together a body of work. He already had major dedicated fans of his who would make sure it was played. Wonderful composer in the camp by the name of Tauba, Carlo Tauba. And he wrote a wonderful song called Ein Jiddische Kind, a Jewish Child.
Du bist ein Kind, ja. Thank you.
we're going to perform that. But that's the only piece of his we have. We know that there was more, but it's gone. We just don't know where it is.
Some of these Terezin composers wrote pieces that were vivid eyewitness accounts of life in the camp and ghetto. We have to remember that even though this was sort of an idyllic setting with composers and musicians creating, this was the Holocaust.
Yeah, it was a period like none other. There was one composer that fits into the category you were just mentioning, or the setting that you mentioned. His name was Karel Behrmann. Now, it turns out he was a phenomenal singer. He was the bass soloist for all the Verdi performances. And he had a great career as a bass singer after the war. But he was also an extraordinary pianist, conductor, and composer. And one of the compositions he wrote is the Terezin Suite. And the second movement he originally entitled Terror. But then years later, he survived, obviously, and years later he changed the name of that movement from Terror to something to do with the dead bodies. It was just a very vivid title. It was quite vivid.
What hopes do you have when it comes to those of us living in the year 2019, when we're confronted with hours of freedom?
I just would like to awaken a curiosity to the people in Terezin. This was their way. This was their nutrition, you know? They had a couple of cups of something purple and ugly twice a day, and they had a piece of bread or two, and the bread came to the bread lines on carts that also then picked up dead bodies and took them to the crematoria. And so this was an era of insanity and chaos. That's the only way to put it, insanity and chaos. And within that insanity and chaos, there were people who were brave, who were courageous, who were dignified, who felt the need to let us know, to tell us, to communicate what, where, how, why, about all the things that they endured amidst the worst of mankind, the worst of mankind that we can possibly imagine. They practiced the best of mankind.
Murray Sidlin's Hours of Freedom, the story of the Terezin composer, is being performed this Thursday night at Atlanta's Ahavith Akim Synagogue. For Irrelevant, I'm John Lemley.